Experiences are what people love most about travel. With Viator, you can browse and book tours and activities so incredible you'll want to tell your friends. They offer everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Viator has experiences in over 190 countries. There's something for everyone. Plus, Viator's travel experiences have millions of real traveler reviews, so you have the information you need to book the best activities for your trip. Viator lets you keep things flexible. Use Reserve Now and Pay Later to secure the activities you don't want to miss without being locked in. Whether you want to take a backstage tour of the Grand Ole Opry, a Miami Bimini Bahamas day trip by ferry, or a private guided tour of the Grand Canyon, Viator is for you. Download the Viator app now and use Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes radio program, and so happy to have you with us. Wow. Do we have a jam-packed program for you today? Senator Bill Hagerty is going to be here. Senator James Lankford. We're going to be talking to our good buddy over at the House Freedom Caucus. Scott Perry is going to be here in just a little while. And Jonathan Kahn, who is probably one of the most proficient writers and really almost a modern-day prophet. He's going to be here. Brand new book coming out. And it is a guide for the end of days, the end times. And we're going to be talking to him a little bit later on. You're going to want to stick around for that conversation. But I want to start, first of all, by saying thank you for the kind words and the thoughts and the prayers and even some of the snarkier comments. Most of those came from my staff because I was out yesterday. I had to go visit the orthopedic surgeon and wanted to kind of give you an update on what happened to yours truly. And it is incorrect to say that AOC tried to run me over in Memphis. That did not happen. I can confirm those are simply rumors, ugly rumors, ladies and gentlemen. I did not try to put my foot into the backside of a leftist. That did not happen either. But first, I want to say thank you to our good buddy Jeff Stein, who really on a moment's notice stepped in and just did a great job yesterday and handled a great interview with Vivek Ramaswamy. So thank you, Mr. Stein, from our great affiliate in Waterloo, KXEL. So Saturday, I was in downtown Memphis, and it was in broad daylight around 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they opened up this beautiful brand-new park or this renovated park along the Mississippi River. It's called Tom Lee Park. And by the way, just a little bit of Memphis history. Tom Lee, an African-American who was working down on the riverside, and he saw this was back, I guess, in the right around the turn of the last century, maybe in the 1920s, and saw that there was a boat sinking in the Mississippi River. And so he went out there in a tiny little boat, and he saved many, many lives, pulling people out of the water, putting his own life at risk. He was honored by the White House at the time, and he became a local hero in Memphis, Tennessee. So they named the park after Tom Lee Park. And it's been a source of controversy because that's also where they hold the annual barbecue world championship contest, the barbecue cooking contest, and a lot of other stuff. But now you've got all these wealthy, super rich people in Memphis, and they believe the park should not be for everybody, that the park should be for them. Their big mansions overlook the park, and they didn't like all the barbecue folks and all the regular Joes. So they spent well over 60-some-odd million dollars to renovate the park. The problem is there's no parking. How do you build a park? And there's no access. So you have to walk down the bluffs, and it's basically, I mean, you've got to be a rock climber, and you're rappelling down the side of the bluffs to get to the park. If you're an old person or a mom with young kids, I don't know how you do it. So anyway, I was down at the park and I was taking pictures, wandering around, exploring it and taking it all in. And then I was walking back up this hill, and unfortunately, the sidewalks are in great disrepair in Memphis, Tennessee. We have a lot of potholes and we have a lot of sidewalks that are literally crumbling. And as I was walking back to my car, which was at the top of this giant hill, I didn't realize that the sidewalk on my right side was just simply gone. It was just basically rubble. And down I went. I face planted on the sidewalk and the gravel, and it was not a pretty sight. No, Dylan, I guess there could be surveillance video, Dylan, I don't know, but it was not a pretty sight. So there I am, sprawled out, and nobody stopped to help. People are like driving by, they're walking by, and people are clearly gawking, but they're not helping me. And I wasn't wearing a Republican t-shirt, I wasn't wearing like a MAGA t-shirt, Memphis is very liberal. And I finally figured out what the problem was, Dylan. I was wearing my bright orange UT Vols football hat. And I think that's why nobody stopped. I mean, Memphis is a Tigers town. It's not Tennessee Vols. So I think that's the reason why. So anyway, I was able, after about 10 minutes, I was able to try to stand up. And I was really concerned because I heard the crack. I heard the audible crack. And I thought, it's just a sprain. But it wasn't a sprain. And so I finally go to the orthopedist yesterday, and long story short, I'm sitting there, and my orthopedist is the best in the business. The guy is just awesome. Titan Orthopedics. Hey, folks, if you're in Gainesville, Georgia, and you break your leg, come to Memphis, and Dr. John will get you, he'll get you straightened up lickety-split. But I like this guy because he doesn't like to do surgery. So anyway, I show up, and he just looked at it. He goes, "Oh yeah, that's broken." And I said, "He goes, why did you wait? This happened Saturday." He says, "Why did you wait until yesterday? What?" And I said, "Well, I just thought it was a sprain." He says, "You thought it was a sprain? You thought it was a sprain? Are you an orthopedic surgeon?" "No, Dr. John." "No, of course you're not. I am. It's broken." So I broke my ankle. I broke my foot. And then apparently there's some sort of a major tendon that goes along the side, and that's been ruptured. So all that to say, I'm going to have surgery. At least they think I've got to go in for some more tests. So anyway, that's why I was out yesterday. I know that's not a very good excuse. And then last night, Dylan, I have to tell you this story. They put me on some drugs, and it's like the hydrocodone. This is like opioid level stuff here. And so I took it last night, and I have been loopy ever since. So I just want to warn you, folks, I am still on this opioid high thing going down. But all I can tell you is thank God for legal narcotics. I mean, I'm putting a few extra dollars in the offering plate. That's for the hydrocodone.
Todd, is this your PSA for when you say something crazy to not hit the dump button or for it to be excused?
That's a good question, Dylan. I don't know.
I'll use my judgment on that one.
So if my voice gets a little scraggly, that's why. And someone asked me, Dylan, they go, is it painful? I broke my ankle and my foot. What do you think? That's not the hydrocodone talking. That's just, are you nuts?
Common sense.
Of course it's painful. So anyway, I've got to end up with this boot, and it's quite a chore to get around. But we're going to have a great time anyway, and I appreciate you guys letting me share this with you. Otherwise, I'd have to hire a therapist, and I don't want to do that. So I'm spilling my guts to you today. There you go. And I appreciate many of you have shared photographs of your own horrifying ankle injuries. I'm good. Don't need to see anymore. I appreciate that. So I can't even look at my own injury. But I'm telling you, it looked like my foot was like the size of a cantaloupe. Unbelievable. All right. Where do we want to start today? 844-747-8868. Thank you for the thoughts and the prayers, though. Greatly appreciated. That's 844-747-8868. Yes, Dylan, I know even Mitch McConnell can walk on a sidewalk. I get that. Thank you. Appreciate that. We got to talk about this new poll coming out, CNN. It is devastating for Biden. Folks, we warned you about this. This was going to get incredibly ugly, and there was going to be a moment in time where Barack Obama was going to pick up the phone and was going to call his boyfriend. I'm sorry, that was a Freudian. My apologies. Was going to call somebody, and he was going to say, it is now time to pull the plug. Joe's got to go. And that's the order that's come out from the Democrats and in leadership. Joe's got to go. But Joe's not going to go because Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden does not want to go. She wants to stay. And so it is going to be an ugly, brutal fight. And it's going to be a lot of fun for us to watch. We're going to have a lot of fun watching the Democrats. Because what's fascinating, when you look at the mainstream media landscape and how they're covering this election cycle, they're telling you that it's the Republicans who are divided. The Republicans are in the middle of a civil war, but the Democrats are unified, when in fact, it's the Democrats that are embroiled in a civil war and the Republicans are united. I mean, how many polls do we have to conduct? Every single poll out there shows that Donald Trump is crushing the Republican field. And that is a great thing, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so we're going to get to that. Also, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, they're having second thoughts. They're having buyer's remorse. You know, they were a big sanctuary city, but now they've got buyer's remorse. And we've got some great audio to play there. All right, we've got a reset. We're going to take a break. Going to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Wow, this is a great comment here from Tyler Boyer, who is an RNC national committeeman out of Arizona. And he's writing on Twitter today, if country club Republican leaders are not replaced at the national, state, and county levels, the Republic will die at the hands of Marxist and money changers. And there's a lot of truth just shoved into that nugget on Twitter. And we're dealing with that very issue here in Memphis, where you have a lot of moms and dads out there, and they are calling for partisan school board races. And one of the things that the people in Memphis have seen play out in places like Virginia and Loudoun County, in Florida, even over in California, where conservatives have been rising up and they have been taking back their school systems. And it's a pretty incredible thing. We've said many times on this program that if you want to change the direction of this nation, you have to get control of the schools. And if you don't, well, guess what? You're going to get Marxism. And that's what's happening here. So there are Republicans in leadership that are now fighting back, and they're really trying to bully and silence moms and dads here in the Memphis area into silence. They want to stifle your voice. And they say it's not. They say we cannot have Republicans and Democrats running for the school board. We don't want people to know if that's an R or a D candidate. And I say, why not? Why can't we just get out there? And I want to know if somebody's got an R behind their name or a D. Now, does that mean that the Republican school board member is going to be a conservative? No, not necessarily, but at least we've got a pretty good idea of their belief system. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But man, is there blowback, and the blowback is coming from these country club Republicans. They're not interested in winning races. They're interested in power. They're interested in the appearance of running a campaign. But at the end of the day, and again, I'll give you another example. In Memphis, we've got a big mayor's race coming up. Folks, it's a nonpartisan race, but there are two men who say they are Republicans. They were not endorsed by the local Republican Party. As a matter of fact, the local Republican Party in Memphis, they endorsed a Democrat for the mayor. How do you do that? How do you do that? It makes absolutely no sense to me. They've had 18 months to figure out who's the best person that we can run, and they just took a pass. They waffled, and it's really sad. So, Tyler, good for you. And folks, you got to pay heed to what Tyler Boyer of Arizona just said and just wrote on Twitter. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is from the mayor. You know what? We're going to hold the mayor. I want to go to the CNN poll. 70% of Americans say things are going badly in Biden's America. Cut 17.
And then just take a look at the mood of the country right now. 30% of Americans in this poll say things are going well today, Sarah. 7 in 10 Americans say they're going badly.
I am going to make the assumption that the economic concerns are one of the really big issues for Americans. Inflation, not having their jobs, give them enough money to sort of keep up.
So this is stunning. CNN releasing this poll, and it's devastating for Joe Biden. And CNN is proudly boasting the fact that this is bad news for Biden. Again, this goes back to Barack Hussein Obama. And when he's not paddleboarding with, you know, the private chef who is nude, he is allegedly, he is calling the shots in Washington, D.C. And that's what's going on here. 67% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning voters now say someone other than Biden should be the party's nominee. May I stop there for just a moment? I don't want to get off on a tangent. But did you notice that story, by the way, about the paddleboarder, Obama's private chef at the million-bazillion-dollar seaside mansion? And it turns out that he was found with no clothes on. And I just want to ask a question here. Why was that not covered in the national news? Why do you think, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, do you think if, I don't know, a nude paddleboarder had been discovered in the pool at Mar-a-Lago, do you think they would have covered that story? But they just, and by the way, nobody in the national media ever asked, not only why was President Obama's private chef nude on a paddleboard, but they never asked another question. Why was it that it was President Obama's private security team, the Secret Service contingent, that called for help and called 911? What were they doing down there? And again, aren't they supposed to go where Obama is? And so if Obama was right, I don't want to speculate. I'm just asking questions. That's all. Just asking questions. All right, back to the poll. And I got some more questions. Oh, I know you're wondering about the Tucker Carlson. I know you're asking about that. We're going to get to that in a moment. Just want to give people time to digest their bologna sandwiches because, whoo, it's a stomach churner. 49%, by the way, of Democrats say that their big problem with Joe Biden is his age. He's just too old. Meanwhile, 70% of all voters say the country's in a bad way. And given a hypothetical matchup between Joe Biden and Donald John Trump, according to CNN, Trump wins that race. This is huge. So the Democrats are basically saying it is time for Joe Biden to pack up and head back to Delaware. Now, a lot of people say that Biden was a complete and utter failure, but I don't agree with that. You have to go all the way back to the start of the presidency, and this is even before the dark Brandon speech in Philadelphia. When Biden predicted at the start of his presidency that America was about to face a long, dark winter. So by that measuring stick, mission accomplished, Mr. President. Good for you. Because we are in the darkness of darkness. So it's over for Biden. And now the question is, who is going to be the nominee? Now, we know Cackling Kamala is already over there saying she's ready for the job. But do you really think it's going to be Kamala Harris? Who do you think the Democrats are going to put to go up against Donald Trump? 844-747-8868. That's our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phones. Anna in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Anna. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I'm calling because you had put it out there about who to run for Democrats. And I just think that the present administration has ruined that party. But having said that, they had a formidable military person named Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. She would have made great. In fact, she did run for president before for the primaries. But I think everybody's way of thinking has turned around because we've suffered so much and it makes such a difference. Back in the days where Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, I'm an older gal, so I remember all these people. They all got along. I mean, Clinton and Newt Gingrich, they all got along. They cared, at least it would appear, that they cared about what happened to the country and what happened to the people of that country.
They were patriots. Yeah, they were patriots. Yep. I mean, yeah, we get it. Bill Clinton was a pervert who did unmentionable things to the interns. We get that. But at the end of the day, he loved America.
He did, and he did everything he could to keep it going. This guy is he's an anomaly. I've never seen anything this bad. I went around with Washington. My grandchildren would disagree, but I went around that back then. But my God, in the last couple three years. But I'm really kind of concerned about President Trump too. I really am, because if he gets in, he might, he's been through it. I mean, he has taken a beating from these people. Now he's got his followers, and there are lots of them. And the thing is, he might try to, take some revenge.
Payback? I don't have a problem with that, Anna. I mean, what this man has been through, I think the first order of business is to issue pardons to those who were convicted as a result of J6, and then start going after the people that tried to sabotage his election. Absolutely. I think there ought to be some revenge there. I don't have a problem with that, especially based on what he's been through. Anna, we've got to run here, And I do appreciate your call. I mean, really, folks, when you look at some of the sentences, some of these guys going to prison for 22 years, meanwhile, a murderer in Washington, D.C., only going to jail for 13. Come on. That's nuts. All right. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have a good friend of this program. My senator, Senator Bill Hagerty from the great state of Tennessee. And, Senator, I hope you're doing well today.
I am, Todd. Good to be on with you today.
You know, Senator, I could not help but chuckle at Mayor Eric Adams, who looks like he has had some sort of a, I don't know, a salvation experience, politically speaking. Is that a good way to frame it?
I think so. But, you know, I just came out of a meeting with the officials at the State Department who were here trying to request money for law enforcement in foreign countries. They want to put $1.4 billion into foreign countries to help them with their own law enforcement to combat drug trafficking, illegal immigration, and things of that nature. And I asked them, how could they square that with the fact that the Biden administration is now proposing as part of their legislation to keep the government open beyond September 30th? If you get to page 51 in the fine print of this, what they're doing is proposing that they have the ability to convert all of ICE's funding, ICE being the only enforcement agency that we have that actually deports people that are here illegally and is supposed to be a law enforcement agency that is protecting our border. They want the ability to completely transition ICE from a border protection organization to a transportation agency that will facilitate the more rapid movement of people that are here illegally. The language basically says that they can convert up to all of the funding for ICE to use it to transport and house and cudgel people that are here illegally in our country. So instead of buying them tickets to send them back to their country of origin, they're going to be using our taxpayer dollars to buy them tickets on the air, by rail, by bus, to send them to New York City with Eric Adams, or to Memphis, or to Nashville, or to, you know, Chattanooga or Cleveland or Kingsport or you name it. They're going to be sending them all over the country. And that's what they want to do, is divert $7.5 billion per year, have the ability to do that, to basically defund ICE and use that use the chaos of a government shutdown threat, I should say, as a reason to be able to shove this change through. Biden promised the transformation of America when he came in. A lot of prominent Democrats have been calling for defunding ICE, and they buried this provision in the legislation that's going to be necessary to their demand in order to keep government open, that we're going to have to vote for this. It's just absurd.
So we shut down the government then, right? Right, Senator? Is that the play Republicans have?
If they don't pull this out, I don't see how they get Republican votes for it.
Yeah, this is insane and infuriating. I was in New York City a couple of weeks ago anchoring Newsmax and just walking around Roosevelt Hotel, this once beautiful hotel. You've got illegals camping out on the sidewalks. People are living in fear. And I hear Mayor Adams, and I hear the anger in his voice, but they're only dealing with 110,000 illegals in New York City. I mean, some of these small border towns have been completely overrun. Do we have the senator with us? All right. I think we may have lost a connection there with the senator. We will try to get that back. But again, the word coming out of New York City, and if we could, guys, I would like to play this audio from Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, holding a town hall with people on the Upper West Side, which is a bastion of liberalism. And in this gathering, this town hall, the mayor says, hey, look, if we get any more illegals, then we're going to destroy the city. The city is going to be destroyed. And I think they are well on their way there. I think we've got the senator back with us. But Senator, the mayor warning, hey, this is going to destroy New York City. This is not hyperbole we're talking about here.
No, I would encourage all of our listeners to go out and look. It's about a 2 or 3 minute clip, but it's a town hall in New York. I think he's got a city council or commissioners there with him. And he is warning that the city is being destroyed, and they are, you know, that he's basically saying this is Armageddon, and these people are coming across our border illegally. They're coming to New York City. They're coming to other cities, as you well know. And the Biden administration is proposing now to make $7.5 billion per year available for them to accelerate this process. It's absolute absurdity.
Senator, we've seen this happen in Tennessee, where the airport there in Chattanooga, they've been dropping off the illegals in the dark of night. I'm curious, have there been any conversations within the Senate about why they're doing this? What is the end game here, bringing all of these millions of people into the country illegally?
So, Todd, you heard the rationale that Biden put forward at the very beginning when he destroyed everything that President Trump put in place to secure our border. And I think the most effective one of those is not just the border wall that President Trump was in the process of completing, and Biden has just let that fall. There are holes in the wall all over the place now. They've taken away the materials, and that's crazy. But the Remain in Mexico, the Migrant Protection Protocols was the technical name. That was the most effective policy that we had in place, which simply said, if somebody wants to seek asylum to get to the United States, they can't come through multiple other countries. They have to go to the next adjacent country or apply from their own for asylum. They can't come to America and apply because we know what they were doing. The coyotes were training them to do this. They get to America, ask for asylum, and they never come in for their hearings. So Trump basically brought the illegal immigration down to a trickle. Biden destroyed that immediately, and he said it was because of humanitarian reasons. I've been down to the border multiple occasions, Todd. If you see what's happening down there, it's anything but a humanitarian result. It's a humanitarian catastrophe. There's carnage at the border. People are dying every day down there, babies, children. You look at the human trafficking that's taking place here. The Mexican cartels, multi-billion dollar criminal organizations, run the entirety of our southern border right now. We've just ceded the border to a criminal organization that is running people through illegally. They're running drugs through. The fentanyl deaths have skyrocketed since this is happening. There's nothing humanitarian about it. So you ask yourself, what's the most logical reason that this is happening? And it gets down to something very simple. The word is power. Biden and the Democrats won't even go down to the border. They won't even acknowledge what's happening because they want this flood of people to come in. Obviously, they're not doing anything to stop it. And if you ask yourself, where are these people going when they enter the country illegally? They're probably likely to commit more crimes. They've already committed a crime coming here. Why not go to a sanctuary city that has pledged not to incarcerate you, not to deport you? Those sanctuary cities are all located in Democrat states that are losing population. They're sending these people disproportionately. I'm not saying everyone's going there. We know some people are going to Chattanooga or places in our state. They're sending people disproportionately to shore up the population loss in these states so they don't lose congressional seats. They're sending them to places where they can actually gain congressional seats. This is about power when you think about it. And the way the census is designed, Todd, and you know this, the previous administration tried to add a question on citizenship to the census. The Democrats went nuts. They didn't allow it. The way the census is designed, they just count how many people are in a given state. And based on the number of people, not citizens, that's how they allocate congressional districts. Congressional districts are also how you allocate electoral votes for the presidency. This is about power at the end of the day. And the Democrats want to say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, this sort of thing. I think it's called Occam's razor, Todd. The most straightforward, the simplest answer is usually the right one.
Yep.
That's the case here.
I'm afraid you may be right here, Senator. And then you throw in the federal judge yesterday ordering Texas to remove those river barriers that were put in, you know, along the U.S.-Mexican border to repel the illegals. The Biden administration pushed back against that. So to your point, this is about power. Senator, great work, and we appreciate you staying on top of this and your great team as well. Wow, this is incredibly troubling what they're trying to do with ICE.
Thanks for helping us get the word out.
Glad to do it. All right, Senator Bill Hagerty, everybody, the great Republican from Tennessee. And if you missed the first part of that interview, they have discovered, buried in the spending bill, a plan that would effectively defund ICE. This is unbelievable, folks. Just unbelievable. All right. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, the senator mentioned the Eric Adams audio. We have that audio, and I want us to listen to that. Cut number 11, please.
We turned this city around in 20 months. And then what happened? Started with a madman down in Texas, decided he wanted to bus people up to New York City. 110,000 migrants. We have to feed, clothe, house, educate the children, wash their laundry sheets, give them everything they need, health care. And this team here, we stated, let's do everything possible before we have to push it out into neighborhoods and communities. Month after month, I stood up and I said, this is going to come to a neighborhood near you. Well, we're here. We're here. We're getting no support on this national crisis. And we're receiving no support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. One time we were just in Venezuela. Now we're getting Ecuador. Now we're getting Russian speaking coming through Mexico. Now we're getting Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come into New York City. And everyone is saying it's New York City's problem. Every community in this city is going to be impacted. We got a $12 billion deficit that we're going to have to cut. Every service in this city is going to be impacted. All of us. And so I say to you, as I turn it over to you, this is some of the most educated, some of the most knowledgeable, probably more of my commissioners and deputy commissioners and chiefs live in this community. So as you ask me a question about migrants, tell me what role you played. How many of you organized to stop what they're doing to us? How many of you were part of the movement to say, we're seeing what this mayor is trying to do and they're destroying New York City? It's going to come to your neighborhoods. All of us are going to be impacted by this. I said it last year when we had 15,000. And I'm telling you now, with 110,000, the city we knew, we're about to lose.
May I just say that I had some mixed feelings about Governor Abbott sending the illegals to New York and Massachusetts and Chicago. I felt like that at the time it would have been better to send them back across the border. But I have to tell you, I was wrong because this one move, sending the illegals to sanctuary cities, is actually exposing the nonsense that is happening in this country. So my apologies to Governor Abbott. It turns out that he was right on the money. Now, the question is, what's New York going to do about this? They keep electing these pro-illegal alien lawmakers. What are they going to do? Maybe Eric Adams needs to come out and declare that New York City is no longer a sanctuary city for illegals. All right, we're going to be taking your calls on this, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Estás atrapado en el tráfico, pero luego hay una recompensa para ti. Una Modelo, la marca de los luchadores. Mantienes la calma a pesar de las bocinas, las largas filas y los gritos.
¡Muévete!
Así que al llegar a casa, sírvete esta dorada y refrescante lager, porque tú sabes que tu paciencia vale oro. Tú eres un luchador y esta es tu recompensa. Modelo, la marca de los luchadores. Todo con medida, importada por Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I know you wanna out me, Tucker Carlson, just let it go. If people hear from Larry about me, it might hurt. My legacy, I ain't too proud to beg. Beg you, Tucker, please don't out me, just let it go. I ain't too proud to plead, Tucker Carlson. Please say yes, and don't say no. Come on, Tucker.
Well, what do you say, pal, huh?
Too bad it's staying up there. I'm gonna let the folks decide for too long. The left has protected you ever since they somehow elected you.
I ain't too proud to beg.
It's not working. I won't take down that interview. The last thing that I need me what I can do.
You can watch it yourself on Twitter.
All right. There you go. Jim Gossett there. And wow, that Tucker Carlson interview he did with Larry Sinclair, who claims that he and President Obama back in the day were an item, if you will. So did you watch the – I'm curious to hear from you. If you watch the interview, and we'll try to play a couple of clips from it. It was just so disgusting. And, or does it really even matter? I mean, at the end of the day, does it really even matter? But I have a thought about this, and I haven't heard anyone talking about this particular aspect of the story in the media. You're going to have to stick around. We're going to be going to your calls as well in the next hour. 844-747-8868. Doesn't really matter if Barack Obama back in the day, shall we say, played the field. Stick around, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Wow, I've got to tell you something. I don't know how the drug addicts do it, folks. I am struggling. It's, you know, it's got to be tough for them. All I did was take my prescription yesterday, and I took it last night, and I nodded off in the middle of a grilled chicken nugget. I was nibbling the chicken and just like completely just fell asleep. And then the next thing you know, I'm somehow I made it to bed, and all of a sudden my earlobe started to flutter. I don't know what that's all about, but apparently I was doing some research on this hydrocodone they've got me on, and I think I may be addicted. I don't know. Is it possible to be addicted after taking one pill? Oh, my word. Anyway, good to have you back with us. All that to say, if you missed the first hour of the program, I want to say thank you to Jeff Stein filling in yesterday as I had to go to the orthopedic surgeon and getting ready for them to fix my ankle and my foot. But I want to say something to the city of Memphis. And, you know, I've been wondering about this. And Ben Dieter has just walked into the studio, the star of KWAM, the radio station I own in Memphis. You know, they spend $63 million building a brand new park. You would think they would spend a couple of $1,000s to build sidewalks. You would just think that would be the case.
And let me paint the picture for your listeners, Todd, that may not live in the gray city of Memphis. The sidewalk where you took your tumble was right around the corner from the new park, the $63 million park. So, it's unfortunate. You know, that park declared war on you.
You know who I blame? Pete Buttigieg. Potholes and sidewalks, sir. And you can't even get the airplanes to fly on time. So anyway, all that to say, folks, if you see me wandering off during the show, it's just the drugs. So bear with me. Having a tough time of this, Dieter.
It's not dementia, is it? Yeah, no, I don't want you doing any Joe Biden things and sniffing any hair around here.
No, I don't sniff hair.
No, I can vouch for you. I've not seen you sniff anyone's hair.
Not a big hair sniffer. Yeah, I'm just telling you. Anyway, all that to say, I had them bring up some coffee because I was starting to nod off. So, my goodness, this ought to be a wild show.
I got a text early in the morning from the station owner, Todd,
whoops,
who you're listening to this morning. He's going, "What happened to the morning show?" It was an hour before the morning show even commenced. Todd, go back to bed.
I don't do well with drugs. I really don't. I just have it is what it is.
It's all right. There's rehab for people.
When I had open heart surgery years ago, and after I had the surgery, I'm in the hospital, and I was in severe pain and agony. And so the doctor, the cardiologist, comes over and says, "Well, yeah, of course you're in pain. You've refused to take the morphine drip." And I said, "I didn't want to get addicted." He says, "You're not going to get addicted. You got to." So I was surviving open heart surgery without any drugs. That was not a good move.
You're insane.
I'm nuts. It's nuts. That's what it is. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Stearns radio program. I am doing the program today on one leg. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. But it will still be a great show, even with one leg. Want to go to the phones here. If Troy still wants to talk to us from WSIC in beautiful North Carolina. Troy, what's going on?
Todd, I think it'll be okay, buddy. You come out on the other side of this after you go to the surgeon, you're going to be the $6 million man.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to cost $6 million. That's what I'm afraid of, Troy.
No, this border control thing, I'm wondering, I got a question that maybe some of the local landowners can get with their local sheriff's authorities and take upon it in themselves, because we're not getting any help from the federal government. In fact, earlier, maybe yesterday or earlier this week, they have told Abbott that he needs to remove those buoys in the river, and if he doesn't, then he's going to be fined, and then they're going to appeal it. And it's just a battle in the courts, but meanwhile, the only way we're going to stop this is we're going to have to take it upon ourselves is local and state to go against this deep state crap that's going on.
Well, if I were Abbott, I wouldn't move a single buoy, not a one. Keep them there.
Yeah, he's probably going to fight it. I mean, you know, I know he's going to appeal it, and hopefully he'll keep them there. But, you know, nobody's telling those people to run across the river but themselves. So, you know, we can't be blaming ourselves for trying to protect our own land, and we are being invaded. Now, there might be some good people coming across the water, but we got to anticipate on the simple fact that there's some bad people coming across the water. So we've got to stop it somehow or another. And if we're not going to get any help from the federal government, then we need to take it upon ourselves to do it.
I will say this, Troy. I believe when you look at the numbers, I would say the vast majority of people coming across that border are bad people. Most of them are able-bodied young men of fighting age. And it concerns me that we are literally allowing an army of socialists and communists to flood into this country to infect our local cities, our local communities. And when somebody blows the whistle, all of a sudden, you've got people fighting in towns and cities large and small across this nation. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not looking at migrants coming here to pick lettuce. I'm looking at grown men that are wanting to do us harm, and that's my concern. Troy, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. And by the way, if the federal government is not going to stand up and do what they're supposed to be doing, which is protecting us from invaders, then it is incumbent upon the states to step in and to do the job. I mean, it really is that simple. And what's fascinating about people like Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, is that he understands it now. He's starting to get it. He's coming to terms with the fact that the Democrat Party has no use for black Americans anymore, that they're looking for a new power base. And when you see what's happening all across this country in predominantly black neighborhoods, where people are coming out and they're supporting Donald Trump, they're beginning to support the policies of the Republican Party, the Democrats aren't stupid. They know they have to have a new power block, and that's what they see coming across that border. As a matter of fact, I want to play some audio. This is from Chicago, where you had a lot of Democrats there are enraged because they are being replaced. They're moving these illegals into their neighborhoods. Cut 13.
All these resources that have not come to us, now you want to overly compensate for people who never lived here before, and they need to be taken care of first and foremost before anything else happens here.
Why would any leader put our black communities, already riddled with crime, at further risk by placing unvetted non-taxpayers steps away from our seniors, our children, and our homes we've worked so hard on our own to secure?
We are at war, people. Our communities are at war. They are violating our communities, and we asking that we have, we across the country, and we asking and we're demanding for office of black America, or whatever you want to call it, to deal with issues like this.
I did get placed on a wait list, but I was told that the immigrants was taking priority. See, that's a story that a lot of people don't know, and it hurt me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I understand we need to be humanitarian, but these people are, that my participant are third and fourth generation Chicagoans, born, bred, fed, and raised here. My grandmother, Mayrella Carrington, rest in peace, always said, Craig, charity starts at home first, and then it go abroad.
Politically, having over 500 people in our community would completely wipe out any interest we have.
Many of these migrants have been dumped in our neighborhoods without a plan in place to monitor and house them long term.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, had that been any other race talking about another race, there would be people hollering about racism. But bear with me for a moment. They get it. I mean, it really is that simple. The blacks in places like Chicago, New York City, the light bulb is starting to flicker, and they're beginning to realize, we're being replaced. And that's what's happening in Chicago right now. This is going to get ugly. It will get very ugly. And there will be fighting in the streets over this in Chicago and New York City. I mean, Mayor Eric Adams is not wrong here. They are on the verge of watching an entire city be destroyed. You talk about Times Square right now, the crime, the corruption, it's reverting back to the pre-Giuliani era. Remember when Rudy Giuliani got elected? Why was Giuliani elected? The Republican. He was elected because New York City had been turned into a hellhole. Many neighborhoods were burned out. You had drug addicts sprawled out on the sidewalks. Times Square was basically a great big nudie bar. It was horrible. The crime was off the charts. And what did Giuliani do? He came in. He gave the police what they needed to get crime under control, and they started going after the nuisance crimes, the broken windows, right? And guess what happened? New York City became a place that people wanted to go to. You wanted to go on a family vacation, you pack up the people in the station wagon, and you drive to the Big Apple. It was a respectable city again. But now it has reverted back to its third world hellhole status. And it's because of the policies of the Democrats. So I hope they can get this all sorted out, because Adams is right. New York City will be destroyed. And all you black voters out there, minority voters, I want you to hear me on this. You need to pay very close attention to the Republican Party right now. Look at the policy positions and ask yourself a question. Are you better off voting for a Democrat? Are you better off voting for a Republican? All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This episode is brought to you by Starfield. Embark on an epic journey through space in the first new universe in over 25 years from Bethesda Game Studios, the award-winning creators of The Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim, and Fallout 4. In this next-generation role-playing game, you decide who you are and what you will become. The most important story is the one that you tell. Create and customize your own character and become a weathered explorer, a charming diplomat, a stealthy assassin, or something else entirely. Pilot the ship of your dreams with a hand-picked crew as you venture through the settled systems and explore more than 1,000 planets, finding adventure and meeting a memorable cast of characters along the way. Set on a journey through the stars to answer humanity's greatest mystery of all. Starfield is available now on select platforms. For all, into the Starfield. Visit www.starfieldgame.com to learn more and buy now. Rated M for mature.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, 4 o'clock Eastern. I hope you watch Newsmax. I'll be hosting the 4 o'clock hour, filling in for Chris Salcedo, doing that all week. And we've got some great guests, great conversation coming your way. That's 4 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Connor in Boston. Hey, Connor, what's on your mind?
Hey, well, I'll tell you, for starters, number one, always a pleasure to speak with you. And number two, I always watch Newsmax. I always watch you on Newsmax. I don't watch Fox News anymore. I don't like big news. So I'm always watching you on Newsmax.
Well, Connor, you're kind to say that. We're having a great time, and I heard that the ratings have been great this week, so that makes me feel really good. So appreciate you. If we see a spike in the Boston numbers, I know it's you.
That's me for sure, my friend. But I am going to tell you this whole issue with New York City, and obviously you know from living there, but it's like they have taken a city that was one of the most iconic cities in America, and they have destroyed it based on their liberal policies. It's like when you had Giuliani in there, it's like, you know, he was firm on crime. And it's like criminals knew if they were going to commit a crime, they were going to pay a price for it. But when it comes to how lax these radical prosecutors, these radical, these police departments are that don't want to enforce the laws, don't want to prosecute the hardcore criminals, you're going to have cities that turn into Portland, Oregon. You're going to have cities that turn into New York City. And you're going to have someone where business does not want to, don't want to set up shop there because you're going to be looted. And you're going to have taxes that raise for everybody to make up for the gap there. Somebody really needs to do something about these cities. And any liberals, any city they touch turns into a third world disaster, quite frankly. I could use some other terms for that. But I don't know when people of New York City are going to wake up and just say, like, hey, this, we need to switch parties here. And we need real change here to take our city back. Until they do that, they're going to have Portland, Oregon in their backyard.
You know, Connor, whenever I'm out in Los Angeles, I used to stay at a beautiful place called Shutters on the Beach. It was right down from the Santa Monica Pier, a little boutique hotel right on the beach. Had to stop because there were the homeless and the drug addicts took over the whole area. And it was devastating. They were finding dirty needles in the sand, people trying to lay out, and they lay down on a dirty needle. So I went over and I switched hotels, and I would stay at the Beverly Wilshire, which is a Four Seasons hotel, a beautiful hotel, right there at the foot of Rodeo Drive. And I was watching a news report yesterday, Connor, that dozens of businesses around Beverly Hills shutting up and closing down. They're shuttering, and the reason why is that it's the crime and these mobs of people going in and looting and pillaging and plundering and the fentanyl crisis. Unbelievable what's happening.
They need to, exactly, and they need to start getting firm. They need to start, like, for these drug dealers and these drug distributors, they need to have a death penalty for these people. You want to distribute fentanyl, somebody dies from it, we're going to execute you for that. They need to get harder on these types of crimes. Otherwise, these people will never learn.
That's it. And Connor, the cities will fall. And just look at what's happening in San Francisco right now. That city's gone. And I'm not too sure they can recover from this. So, Connor, always appreciate you. And thanks for calling in. Let's go to Patty in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Hey, Patty, what's on your mind?
I am so worried about you.
Why? Why are you worried about me, Patty? What did I do?
You're sleeping on your chicken McNuggets. What's going on with you?
Well, that's a fair question, actually. I just can't handle the drugs, Patty.
Please, God. And you see tons of them around the country, California, New York. Yeah. They're like intense. They do drugs. I mean, I don't know. You're right. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it.
Poor Patty, you've just got a vision of me in a bathrobe slouched over with a half-eaten chicken nugget hanging out of my mouth.
I'm sorry, Todd. I love you to death, but I'm oh, my God. I can't stop laughing. But anyway, I want to make it to the main thing. I'm going to tell you, there's a reason why Donald Trump lost in 2020. There was a reason for it, for all this to come out.
You think so? You think this may be providential, that what Satan meant for evil, it turned out to be good?
Yes, I believe you look, if you look at all your Democratic states, all your, they're starting to wake up. You have Hawaii, you have California, you have Chicago, New York. They're all blue states. They're starting to wake up.
Well, it could be. And that's why I had to apologize, because I understand what Abbott was doing now. They got just a little taste of what's been happening on those border states for decades. And they realize just how bad it is. And it's going to get a whole lot worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I think it's happening. Somebody... I you know what, maybe I'm a little crazy, but I think somebody intervened in this and said, I'm gonna show people in this country, you want to really see the garbage what the Democrats could do. Well, here you go. Here's
All
a
right.
big dose of it.
Patty, we got to leave it there, my friend. Folks, hang tight. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jay Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. This month, we're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack from within, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, and help us fight to literally save lives. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Wow, I got in a little hot water with House leadership after I said Kevin McCarthy was the do-nothing speaker. And his people did not like that. You got to go back and watch Newsmax. I was hosting the show earlier this week. And folks, the reality is that so far, no one's been impeached. McCarthy has given in on just about every major battle out there. And the next question is, what is he going to do about this spending bill? And will he finally do what he promised he was going to do to the House Freedom Caucus? I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Scott Perry, with us. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Well, I'm doing as well as I can be under the tyranny of the Biden administration and the left, Todd, just like we all are. But that doesn't mean it's good. It's just we're surviving it and praying every day and working every day to change that and make it good, which is what it should be in America. It should be good every day.
You know, Congressman, just a few moments ago, we had Senator Bill Hagerty on the show alerting us that tucked away in the spending bill was an item that would basically defund ICE. And Senator Hagerty says Biden is willing to destroy the sovereignty of our country to appease the far left. You have to wonder what else is tucked away in that nonsense.
Well, we do wonder what else is tucked away. And, of course, what he's talking about is the Senate version, which is why whatever the House sends over, and let me be clear, I'm for sending over righteous appropriations bills, all 12 of them, that have the policy riders and provisions about what we will fund and what we will not fund in them, and send them over with the correct level of spending that is in agreement with or in accordance with the agreement we made with the speaker in January, which actually cuts the funding for some of these agencies. Imagine us being asked to vote for more funding for the Department of Homeland Security, more funding for the Department of Labor, or more funding for the Department of Justice. Why would we give these people that are at war with the American people more money to conduct that war? Yet that's essentially what we're being asked. What we need to do is send the Senate a message, both on policy, on funding, that says the war ends today.
I think it's a brilliant idea. Are you going to get the support from Speaker McCarthy? Is he doing what he's supposed to be doing?
Well, we haven't seen the outcome at this point. We've had now months to pass appropriations bills. We've been asked to vote for higher levels over and over again. And when we said our position is clear, it's been clear since January, we want both the policy and the spending to be correct, then we're at an impasse. And they said, well, let's continue the conversation, which we're willing to do. And the conversation just keeps on turning around to, we need you to support these bills. Well, we're not going to support the bills that give the people that are at war with America more money. We're just simply not going to support that. And they'll say, well, we have good policy in there, which we do have. The House has written appropriations with good policy in them because the Freedom Caucus has been a part of that work. But you, Todd, you know this as well as I do. When we send over bills that have more money in them than was agreed to even in May, with this Memorial Day debt ceiling thing, the price tag is just going to go up. When we send these policy bills over to the Senate's going to strike our policy, all the righteous policy. And they've already told us that they're going to spend even more money, and they're going to send that back to us. So the end result is going to be bills that the House is going to be expected not only to vote on, but to vote for, which spend more money and have more continued Biden, Nancy Pelosi policy. That's an unacceptable position for America.
I've lost count of the number of times we've had Republicans on the show over the past couple of years now, and they've said, well, you know, we've got the power of the purse string, so we're gonna defund the deep state. We're not gonna give the FBI any money. But which is all well and good, and I people hear that and they cheer in their cars as they're driving around during the lunch hour. And yet, congressmen, everything is still funded. At some point, we want to see some action here.
Yeah, everybody says that, but nobody's willing to do it. That is the power that Congress has. We're not investigators. We're not prosecutors. We're not in the courts. We can't deal with any of those things, on their prima facie, because we're not those branches of government. We are the legislative branch, and we are only one half of it. But what we should do is send the strongest message to the Senate that we are not going to fund these tyrannies against the American people, and force them to tell the American people why they should fund these tyrannies. But that's not where we are right now. We are planning to send them bills that spend more money than we agreed upon, and more money that was spent than was spent last year and the year before and the year before. Understand, Todd, that non-defense discretionary spending, so that's money other than Social Security and Medicare, it's money other than defense. It's the Department of Justice. It's the Labor Department. It's the Interior, the IRS. All those agencies, all that spending went up 40% or more during COVID. All we've said is that we want to rein that in and bring it back to pre-COVID levels. It was already too much before COVID, much less after COVID. And what our leadership is telling us is, no, we actually have to spend more. Why would I do that?
Is Speaker McCarthy on shaky ground with you guys?
Look, I think that every one of us has to earn our keep every single day. We made an agreement in January. We're willing to stick to our side of the bargain, which is if the appropriation bills are written at the right numbers with the right policy, we will vote for them. Many of us have never voted for some of these appropriation bills, but we will do that. But if they're not going to honor that commitment, if the numbers are going to be too high and the policy's not going to be in there, we just simply can't justify it to ourselves and, more importantly, to our bosses, the American people. Cannot do that.
All right, Congressman Scott Perry, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Meanwhile, while you have all that happening, Congressman, you've got the mayor of New York City saying that illegals are about to destroy the Big Apple. You've got black voters in Chicago that are up in arms because they're being denied resources given to illegals. And I tell you, I was opposed to Governor Abbott's plan to ship these illegals to the big cities. But I got to tell you, I was wrong. I think this may very well be the change that we need to see in this country.
Well, look, the mayor, he can accept the blame, him and his party and the left in general, for destroying his city and being on the path of destruction for the country. The policies that he's having to deal with are the policies of his party and the ideology of the people that he hangs around with and agrees with. So those crocodile tears don't really have much of an impact on me, because the rest of the country has been suffering under the cost of these policies now for decades. And we are sick of it. And the fact that they're finally sick of it, well, welcome to it, because our prices have gone up and our freedoms have been eroded for the sake of these wrongheaded policies for years now. And we're happy that they're finally realizing it. But he should pick up the phone and call the president and demand it end. He shouldn't be asking for more money. He shouldn't be coming to us crying about it, because he's been part and parcel to where it started in the beginning.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the great work and the fierce stand that the House Freedom Caucus is taking. And let's just hope Congress does the right thing.
Sure do. You hope so. Thank you.
Tom. All
Have
right.
A great day.
You too. Congressman Scott Perry, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Want to ask you a question here. So the Tucker Carlson interview he did with Larry Sinclair. So Dave Portnoy is weighing in on all of this now. Dave Portnoy says, I met Larry Sinclair when I was doing my Tucker thing a couple of weeks ago. I would trust Anna Delvey before I trusted anything Larry Sinclair said. Top to bottom, maybe the least trustworthy human I've ever laid my eyes on. I'd say his story has 0% of being true, and that's being generous. Now, it just seems to me, and again, I'm not sure why this is such a big story now, because Larry Sinclair years ago came out and made these allegations about Obama back in the day and didn't really get anywhere. And the media refused to cover the story because the media was afraid of doing any kind of a story that would cast any sort of dispersion on the Obama legacy back. And I know that because I was embedded with the campaign when I was at Fox News, and I saw all this. I had a front row view of it. The media just did not want to cover anything that might paint Obama in a very bad light. Of course, I mean, there were the magazine covers. You know, Obama is the first gay president. I mean, we didn't do that. Those were the magazines doing that. But here's the point I want to get at with the whole, and this to me is the nugget. And why people, and this is how people ought to be approaching this story. I think there's a better chance of Larry Sinclair's story being true than the allegations that were made against Donald Trump that he sexually assaulted a woman inside the Bergdorf Goodman department store. I would say there's probably a better chance of Larry Sinclair's story being true than the allegation that Donald Trump sexually attacked a woman on an airplane and nobody saw it, right? So again, the mainstream media, they've been all over these crazy allegations. When you're going back to the golden showers, the accusation that Trump was taking the golden showers with the Russian hookers and that he colluded with the Russians, man, they're all over those stories. They're all over those ludicrous, outrageous allegations, aren't they? Anytime somebody makes an allegation, it doesn't matter how insane it is, the mainstream media is all over the story. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. But when it comes to Barack Hussein Obama, guess what? Yeah, they're not touching that at all. Even Michelle Obama, you know, they're not going to cover those stories. They're just not. It again goes back to the double standard here, folks. That's the point I'm trying to make. This is all about double standards. And I don't care. What Obama does, and if he wants to dribble balls and do layups, we're talking. He's a basketball fan, Dylan. Come on now. All right, get your mind out the gutter. But if he wants to do that, that's his own business. It's America. You have a constitutional right to do that, even at the Comfort Inn. But I'm just telling you that when it comes to Trump, there's a different standard. And that's the story. I think that's the real story about what's going on here. Hope and change. We'll be right back.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I just had retired from union carpenter, so my body was a little wore out. My shoulders were hurting. Like, I eat potatoes and stuff, but I wasn't getting all the vegetables, right? So I started thinking about that. And because there's no compounds, it's just all natural. It's not like vitamins you buy at the store where you read the ingredients and there's like all different things. I don't even know how to pronounce the names that are in these vitamins. But this Balance of Nature is just all natural stuff, no artificial things. So I thought, I'll give that a try. You know, the stuff works. So now you guys made it easy for me to stay healthy.
Happy National Fruits and Veggies Month. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer today to receive $35 off your first order. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code REAL.
Yes, we can, America. Yes, we can. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Todd Starnes here. By the way, big news over at Newsmax. Greg Kelly, his time has moved, his time slot, now on at 9 o'clock Eastern, and you can watch his amazing show exclusively on Newsmax. Plus, at 6 o'clock Eastern, the night starts with Greta Van Susteren for the big breaking news, followed by Rob Schmidt at 7. And Rob just tells it like it is, folks. Eric Bolling exposing Biden's cover-ups and the family corruption. Folks, Newsmax is all about telling you the truth. By the way, 4 o'clock Eastern, I will be on Newsmax today, hosting the full hour. Newsmax now getting close to beating CNN in the ratings. And after Tucker Carlson's firing, millions have turned off Fox News and turned on Newsmax. President Trump, he watches Newsmax. He's been telling everybody, you got to change the channel. By the way, you can find Newsmax on all major cable systems. And if your cable system does not carry Newsmax, give them a call and say, we want Newsmax. There you go. Oh, I've got to tell you this story. This is a crazy, crazy story coming from Disney World. Turns out Snow White and Cinderella may be damaging your daughter's self-esteem. That's the findings of a new study by the University of California. They say the body shape of Disney princesses could make young girls self-conscious about their body type. In other words, they're saying that Snow White and Rapunzel, is that the chick with the long hair hanging out the window? There you think you've been, Dieter. And Cinderella, they're too skinny, a little bony, a little, what was it, the Olsen twins? A little anorexic-ish. And they're saying that Disney artists need to create portly girls, fatties, if you will, fatties. Now, I will say this. I don't know what Disney's motive here is, but, you know, they're all about the bottom line, and it's costing a lot of money. A lot of the woke policies that Disney has been implementing, it's really been hurting the bottom line. And so let's get real. When you're creating these little cartoon characters, right, and you have your big box of Crayolas, and I have to imagine the artist at Disney, they've got that 64-pack of Crayolas with the built-in sharpener. You know, if Snow White's going to weigh 300 pounds, the problem is you're going to be using up a lot of crayon there, right? So, I mean, that's a lot of coloring, kind of a big girl. So maybe the only reason they're doing skinny princesses is because they're trying to save a few bucks on Crayolas. So anyway, USC says these movies featuring the skinny girls reinforce a social narrative that thinness is more socially desirable. Is that it, or is it just maybe a health thing, right? because if you're thin, then you're probably going to be healthier. But I don't know. Maybe USC is reading too much into this. I do not understand why we just can't let the kids enjoy their favorite cartoon characters. However, there may be something to this, guys. Ben Dieter, I was a big fan of Family Guy when I was, of a certain age.
Oh, no.
And I was a big fan of Peter Griffin. So I don't know. Maybe I wanted to emulate.
You took it too seriously.
What about Fat Albert? Hey, hey, hey. I'm just saying.
You remember Bob the Builder.
That's true. He's a little chunky.
He was chunky, and I also wanted to be Bob the Builder when I grew up.
Okay, but you weigh the size of a bean.
Yeah, I guess I turned out all right. I mean, are we going to have fat Barbies now? I mean, isn't there Ooh. Ursula? Remember Ursula, the big purple thing in Little Mermaid? There are plus size Disney. Well, they're typically the villains.
Big boned Barbie. It'd be hard, though, because she's got to fit into the little outfits. So you'd have to have a whole line of clothing. Barbie, of course, is, I think, Mattel. It's not Disney, but still. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to have, if you're going to have an overweight Cinderella, then you got to have big boned Barbie.
Yeah.
And
Pocahontas has got to be bigger than the horse she's riding.
Gay Ken. Yeah. So there you go. We have not heard from Disney on this. They're not commenting, so we don't know if they're going to be, featuring some full-figured gals in the upcoming movies. But they are working. I think they're working on a brand new Cinderella. And Ben Dieter, our sources on the set tell us that instead of the carriage turning into a pumpkin, it turns into a bucket of KFC. Extra crispy. I'm just saying.
Oh, boy.
All right, folks, hang tight. We've got more of this coming. This is the first time I've actually done a show under the influence of, legally prescribed narcotics. I think it's going a lot better than I thought. But we've still got another hour, so we shall see. All right, folks, hang tight. 844-747-8868. That's our number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm 76. I'm really a believer. In fact, I even have one of my doctors taking them now. I told him, I said, the difference in my energy after taking them 2 weeks was miraculous. And I sleep better. I'm really pleased.
Go to balanceofnature.com and get $35 off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code REAL.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. And I wanted to share a little bit of exciting news with you. And we're going to be talking about this in the coming months. But today is a very exciting day here at the program where you can now pre-order my brand new book coming out. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And I will tell you, as insane as things are in this country right now, you're going to be able to read this book and you're going to get some belly laughs. Your eyes are going to be open to some of the things that have been happening in this country, and you're also going to get a healthy dose of hope, because even though Joe Biden brought darkness and a dark winter to America, I truly believe that President Trump can bring morning to America, and I lay it all out in this book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? So the book is not officially out until March, but the publisher wanted to go ahead and start the pre-order process. And you can do that by going to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books, and you'll be able to go ahead and pre-order a copy of the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We're also going to be doing a pretty extensive book tour next year, and we do that in conjunction with our radio affiliates. So If your local radio station carries this program, there's a pretty good chance we will be coming to your town. We love doing that, and we have a lot of fun. You know, one of my favorite memories, three actually, from the book signing trail, one in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and somebody brought these. You know, I'm a huge chili dog fan, and somebody actually brought chili dogs to the book signing. Now, you know, that's going to be fun. Then we did a book signing at a barbecue joint, Smokehouse Barbecue in Gainesville, Georgia, and they actually brought us a plate of homemade biscuits and a 5-pound slab of butter. And that was a wonderful event after I visited my cardiologist and got some cholesterol medicine. And then we were out in Morehead City, North Carolina, at the Sanitary Fish House, I believe is the name of the restaurant, right there on the waterway, and just a beautiful time. It was a great location, and the seafood was unbelievable there over on the Carolina coast. So anyway, we're going to be out there doing that again coming up in the new year, but we would love for you to go ahead and pre-order the book now so we get a pretty good idea of how things are going to go with book sales. The name of the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? All right, got to bring your attention to an item from a place called Arlington, Tennessee. Now, I've heard a lot of crazy stories about transgender students, and right away, I just want you to hear from me. I don't believe in transgenderism, because here's the working definition of what it means to be transgender. The definition of transgender is God made a mistake, right? That's the whole point. A boy thinks he's a girl. He says the doctor misgendered him when he was born. No, not the doctor. You're saying God made a mistake. That's what you're saying. But I don't believe God makes mistakes. I believe God makes boys to be boys and girls to be girls, and little squirrels to be squirrels and little badgers to be badgers. So I don't believe God makes any mistakes. So that brings us to a town called Arlington, Tennessee. Beautiful town, great community. And the school is facing a civil rights complaint after a transgender student alleged that she was not allowed to use the bathroom of her choice. She also says, and this is perhaps the most heinous, it's our understanding that the school dead named the child. So here's the deal. You got a girl and she thinks she's a boy. And mommy is all on board with this. And I was going through their social media pages, and they're all about the whole transgender stuff, right? So the child, her name is Max. And I don't know if that was short for Maxine, but that's the child's name. Her name is Max, and she identifies as a boy, even though she's a girl. So she's very smart and made some sort of an honor roll or some sort of a list, and it was posted on the wall. And the school listed her original name, her birth name. And so the child was triggered and became very upset, and contacted the local media, and she was very dramatic in her presentation of how all this went down, but she said that she was dead named by school leaders. So you say, well, what is a dead name? What does that mean, Todd? I'm not familiar. Well, let's just say that you're born Maxine, but you want to become Max. So your dead name is Maxine. That's your old name. The old name has been washed away. The new name has, well, anyway, you get the point. So it's a term that the transgender community made up to refer to the birth name of a person instead of their preferred name. By the way, I checked this individual's TikTok feed, and the pronouns are a bit peculiar with this one. So she goes by the pronouns he, they, and it. So she is an it. Oh, wait. Can we say that on the radio? I don't think we can. Put a pregnant pause on there, Dylan. He is an it. So, wow. It's one of those days, folks. It's one of those days. So I just follow the science. That's all we do. We embrace science, and we believe in embracing your God-given plumbing as well. You put those together and you realize there really is no confusion here, right? It is what it is. So Max was born a biological female, and therefore that's why we refer to her with the proper pronouns. She is a she, not an it. I did it again. I am so sorry. Anyway, she told the local television station, Fox 13, and by the way, the local TV station, they're all over the pronouns. They're like, Arlington boy says he was No. It's very simple, folks. Anyway, Max told the television station, so I was walking down from the cafeteria, and I saw the posters, and I got super excited, so I stopped. So I stopped, like with my partner, looking for our names and everything, and then I see it, and it's my dead name. Oh, my. I wonder if it's like ghost-like. You know, it's like, ooh, dead name. I see dead vowels. The complaint alleges the district discriminated against Max by not stopping instances of harassment. It also alleges the school failed to honor Max's preferred name and would not let her use the restroom of the sex in which she identifies. But we had to quote the TV station, and they used the wrong pronouns. So the teenager is very upset because now she's afraid that they're not going to use her preferred name on her graduation certificate. So look, let me explain what's going on here. Under state law, in Tennessee, I don't know what it's like where you're at, but under state law, schools are not required to do this, right? Schools are required to use the name that is on the birth certificate. I mean, it really is that simple. And if the parent wants to go out there and change the child's name, well, guess what? They can do that. But there's a process. But it's not the school district's fault. As a matter of fact, Arlington Community Schools, they ought to be commended for addressing all of this with a healthy dose of common sense. Anyway, the child doing an interview with the TV station became very dramatic. And I'm just going to try to read this as best I can. If they don't call me by my name as Max, then it's just not me. Sorry. I'm just saying. That's how it went down. So there you go. Again, this is why when you are electing somebody to a school board position, guess what? You need to make sure that that person is a Republican or a Democrat. That's all there is to it. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us our good friend Senator James Langford from Oklahoma. And Senator, I know you have been very busy up on Capitol Hill and hope you're doing well. Welcome to the show.
I am doing well. I'll let you sing the whole Oklahoma song if you want to.
No, right ahead. That's about as far as I get. So I got kicked out of my Baptist church choir when I was a kid. I've got no singing voice.
You got nothing then. Yes, it's been an exceptionally busy season on this. We have a lot to do still, so it's undone. But there's quite a bit going on.
I want to talk about this Prevent Government Shutdowns Act. Tell our listeners what that's all about.
Yes, yeah, so this is something I've actually worked on for several years. There's been different versions of this for 10 or 12 years that have been out there. Government shutdowns cost the taxpayer money every single time it happens. So I know there's some folks that get all excited. They love watching the CNN countdown clock of how many days until the shutdown and think there's some glory in it, but it actually wastes taxpayer dollars in it. And it's really hard on folks like our federal law enforcement at the border. I talked to a Border Patrol agent yesterday. I was talking about during the last shutdown, they weren't getting paid during that time period. Now, they did eventually get paid, but for folks that live paycheck to paycheck, which is quite a few Americans, if you have a couple of paychecks where you don't get paid, it gets really hard. And so what I'm trying to do is to try to deal with what we've got to deal with. That is our debt and deficit. to be able to say, let's have the fight on our debt and deficit, but let's not take it out on federal workers or on the American people that can't get somebody to answer the phone for them during a shutdown time period. So my basic proposal is government continues to run as it has, same budget, doesn't change if you get to the end of the fiscal year and budget work's not done. But members of Congress and our staff are in session 7 days a week. We can't move to other bills other than appropriations, and it forces us to the moment that we can have the fight about debt and deficit, that no one can say, you know, we just have to pass this bad bill or else we'll have a shutdown. It actually puts the pressure where it should be to say, members of Congress, let's have the argument right now. Let's work through all these issues, and we're not under the cloud constantly of a government shutdown to do it.
You know, just a little while ago, we had Senator Bill Hagerty on, and he was very alarmed at something that was tucked away in the spending bill that would basically defund ICE and just open up our borders. And I think the challenge is that you're dealing with some actors up on Capitol Hill who are being sneaky.
Yep. So what they'll do is they'll slip things in and say, yes, that's in there, but there's other good things in there, or we'll have a government shutdown. So we've got to be able to support this. My focus is we want to take that completely off the table. Let's have the argument on debt and deficit. Let's actually bring that to a head and to be able to work through it, but not have to have federal workers and air traffic control and everything else suddenly go into chaos because of it.
In the meantime, Senator, another big issue, you've been pressing the Biden administration for answers on why the southern border is not secure.
Yeah, it is not secure. In fact, I can tell you this, we just crossed a marker that most Americans don't know that we crossed or tracking. We just crossed over 6,100,000 people that have illegally crossed over the border just since Biden has been president. So less than 3 years, that is the same number of people illegally crossing the border in both terms of the Obama administration and the Trump administration. So we've had as many people cross in less than 3 years under Biden than we had in the previous 12 years under the previous two presidents. That's how bad his immigration policy has really been. It is really out of control. And we had another hearing on it yesterday to be able to lay out what's happening, the parole that they're offering benefits to individuals. And even in the continuing resolution, the request from the White House that he has a request for medical assistance, new legal assistance for those folks that are illegally crossing the border that we have not done in the past. So they're not done trying to find ways to be able to benefit folks crossing the border, nor to incentivize people to be able to cross the border. So this is a very serious issue, and it's getting worse all the time.
It certainly looks like some cities, like New York City, may be having buyer's remorse on the sanctuary city policies. You had Eric Adams, the mayor, at a town hall meeting saying, you know, they've got 110,000 illegals, and if they get more, it's going to destroy the city. Well, you know what? It's hard to feel sorry for New York City when you look at what's been happening along the border state towns.
100%. Yeah, they have been announcing that they're a sanctuary city for a long time. San Francisco, Chicago, all these different cities have just announced, look how compassionate we are. We're a sanctuary city, and they're reaping what they've sown at that point. So that's been the frustration. And Eric Adams is also blaming Texas, saying this wouldn't be a problem if the folks from Texas weren't bussing all these folks up. But Texas is, they have been bussing people to New York City, no question, because Texas had people by the millions coming into there, so they're bussing about New York City. But they bussed about 13,000 people to New York City. New York City, best estimate, has well over 100,000 these illegal immigrants that have come there. So this is not just a Texas issue of them bussing people to them. This is a Biden issue of his bad policy, and it's resulting in what's happening in New York City all over the country.
Is it possible for Republicans to take advantage of this? I remember talking to a lot of leaders in the minority communities, and they say that, you know, the Republicans just are not making an effort to get into those communities. We played some audio earlier from a predominantly black community in Chicago where they are literally being pushed aside to welcome the illegals. And I'm wondering, maybe this is an opportunity to go in with the GOP's message and platform.
Well, GOP should be everywhere, anywhere. The basic conservative principles that I vote for and that I stand behind, and many of my states stand behind, those principles help every community and every place of every race and background and every location. It helps literally everyone rise because it's about opportunity. It's about breaking down barriers. I am proud to be in the party of Lincoln. I'm unashamed of that fact, and am grateful to be in a party that from the very beginning was about ending slavery, was about providing equal opportunity. That's who we really are. And the slander that has been out there saying all Republicans are racist and they're evil and they're mean and they hate those in poverty. When you have folks that actually look at policy positions and say, who's trying to be able to actually help people rise? Who's trying to be able to help families grow? You're going to find those basic conservative Republican policies. But you're right. There are some people that say, hey, I haven't had someone show up at one of my meetings or get a chance to be able to visit. That is the fault of elected officials and others that are actually not attending, going, and meeting people so they get a chance to be able to hear both points of view.
You know, one of the best speeches I ever heard, Congressman Lee Zeldin, who's really crossing the country with that message, Republicans have to get out of our comfort zones. We've got to get into the communities, and we've got to start spreading that message. And who knows? We just might be able to win the day.
Yeah, no, absolutely should be able to win the day on it because, again, it's back to all the opportunities, all of the both the history for Republicans, but also the optimism for the future of what we can become. That works for every single family in every single neighborhood. That's what really lifts up families. We want to be able to continue to do that. And I would tell you, the immigration issue is a sad humanitarian crisis for us. We need to be able to speak out to be able to end that crisis, but also be able to speak out and to be able to say, what are we doing to be able to continue help for families that are here in the United States?
All right. Well, Senator, we're going to leave it there. Good stuff. And we appreciate you coming on the show.
Glad to be able to do it.
All right. Senator James Lankford, everybody, the great Republican from Oklahoma. And he's one of the conservatives, rock solid conservatives. And he's right. We've got to get our message out into the hinterland. All right, got to take a break. Jonathan Cahn, the best-selling author, has a brand-new book out, The Josiah Manifesto. Do you believe in the end of days? We're going to talk about it coming up. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Some people don't think horses and people communicate. We call those people not horse people. Not horse people don't know you and your horse share a unique bond, or that your horse knows you know they like your dogs. But not so much the barking. At Sentinel Horse Nutrition, we don't knock not horse people. We're too busy focusing on horse people's horses. With extruded nugget feeds for exceptional nutrition and formulas for every need, our wide choice of feeds makes it easy to find the fit for your horse's health. Find theirs at FeedSentinel.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And don't forget, 4 o'clock Eastern, I'll be hosting Newsmax, so the Chris Salcedo Show. So hope you will tune in this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern. Well, as promised, there is an incredible new book coming from the pen of Jonathan Cahn, 7-time New York Times best-selling author. I mean, that is a huge feat and should be celebrated. The brand new book called The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. Jonathan Cahn on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Jonathan, I hope you're doing well.
Great to be with you, Todd.
All right. Well, let's just jump into this, Jonathan. Who is Josiah and what is his manifesto?
Well, the Josiah Manifesto is, I would put it this way, what if God was basically giving us a revelation about where we are, where America is, where we are heading, what lies ahead, what do we need to do to prepare to prevail in the days ahead? And what if we are in this mystery right now that what's behind what's the events of our time are actually ancient mysteries from God that actually in some cases determine not only what's happening but the actual dates of what's happening? That's what the Josiah Manifesto is going to open up. And one of the things, you asked about Josiah, it's all going to lead to that. And that is that I believe there's an answer, that the days of Josiah were days of apostasy. You know, and there was actually, they were killing their children in Israel. They were engaging in sexual immorality, gender confusion, and it was heading to judgment. But God used this guy, Josiah, to literally change the course and literally stand against the darkness. And I believe we are at a Josiah moment right now, America, where we are literally heading to judgment or the chance of revival, and that's where this is. So it's not only kind of opening up these things, these mysteries, but also giving the last part is a manifesto where it's a guide. How do we do? What do we need to know to overcome?
Yeah, you. One of the mysteries that you write about has to do with what happened on January the 6th at the U.S. Capitol. So let's talk about the mystery of Donald Trump. What's that all about?
Yeah, there is something, you know, there is a paradigm, and it's basically there are figures that God gives in the Bible, and it's amazing that modern day leaders are actually following it. And behind Donald Trump, and this is not about Trump and this is not about politics, but behind Donald Trump is a figure of Jehu. Jehu was wild. Donald Trump's wild. He was unpredictable. He was used at a time when the nation was really heading away from God. And the thing is that he actually, with January 6th, it's amazing, because there's a template in the Bible where Jehu calls people together to the Capitol, and his people kind of go around the Capitol building, and this great Capitol building in ancient times, and they go into it, they storm it, while there are proceedings going on, and so that was all January 6th. But the other thing was that at the end of that week of January 6th, the Capitol Police, they announced, made headlines, they said, we have arrested on-site 80 people in connection with going to the Capitol. The Bible, in that account, says the number of people were 80 men. So there's something very dramatic. But the ultimate thing is, if people don't realize, Jehu was actually linked to driving out Baal worship, which was centered on the killing of children. Donald Trump, whatever one thinks of him, was used more than any other to overturn our own Temple of Baal, which is Roe versus Wade,
wow,
by putting in who he did. So everything has followed out exactly.
This is fascinating. How much time does it take for you to sit down and extrapolate this information from the Bible and weave it into what's happening in real time?
Well, I never, you know, I could never, Todd, I could never reproduce, like any of the books from the Harbinger to this, I could never reproduce it. It's like something comes up, something is shown, and then comes the next step, and then it leads to another, and then it leads to another, and I just trust the Lord to do that. So, I mean, to write the books, it probably takes me about 4 months, but the biggest part is exactly what you said. It's really the download, and that comes in a time before it, usually over a few months, but I could never reproduce it.
Oh, wow. Jonathan Kahn on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, you also write about the pandemic, and how does this play
Yes.
into all of what's happening in America?
Well, it's an amazing thing, and that is, Todd, you know, the Bible says that what you do to the children is going to come back to you. And one of the ways it actually says in the Bible it came back to Israel, is in the form of something called in Hebrew, Dever Gadol, which means a great plague or a pandemic. And the amazing thing is that all these things that happened, I'll just give you a quick example, that the day that we began abortion on demand in 1970, 50 years, a jubilee, and God, that means a lot, all these things come back. The pandemic comes back in 2020. The day that the abortion really first surfaced, it was in New York in the legislature, came up was January 20th, 1970. 50 years later, January 20th, 2020, is the exact date that the plague enters America. And every single thing, Todd, I mean, if I tell you, it follows to the exact days. The place where abortion really went through America or came to was New York, and so the plague comes to New York. And everything goes according to this thing. And I'll even give you one thing, just, and that is that, you know, if you look at how many children were killed from 1970 to Roe versus Wade in that 3-year period, it was 1.3 million. 50 years later, there's another 3-year period of this plague, COVID. How many people were killed? 1.3 million, matching the 1.3 million children.
Get out. Really? The exact number?
And there's, yeah, exactly. Yes, and there's much more. That's just a taste. Yes.
I'm curious where all of this is heading. I mean, it seems like in 2024, we're either going to be taking a road to, as you mentioned, redemption or destruction.
Yeah, I believe we are right at that. I mean, America's racing just like Israel did, and that's why I believe God gives these warnings and gives these patterns, and that's why I was very strongly led to write this, because yes, I believe we are on the verge, and it depends, you know, what happens and what do we do. And that's why the last 100 pages out of the book is really the manual about what we need to do. You know, how do we resist this? What do we do to touch touch our nation, to touch our lives, but to be lights in the dark. And this, I mean, this could be the greatest hour. It could be the worst hour or the greatest hour. It hangs in the balance. And that's why I was very strongly, I had to write this.
So, first of all, folks, you got to get a copy of the book, The Josiah Manifesto. Second, I am curious because people always ask about the end of days. It's such an interesting and fascinating topic. And the question is, how do you survive? Looking ahead, what do we need to do to take care of our families?
Well, one thing is that we got to realize, we can't, it's not, business as usual. The culture has changed, and we cannot live as cultural Christians. We have to go back. It's kind of like the world is going back to where it was at the beginning of the age. Israel's back in the world. The culture is going back to literally a pagan state. We have to go back to where we were, which is the book of Acts. And so we have to take a model which is all out revolutionary. Josiah was totally, revolutionary, radical, and we have to, if the dark is getting darker, we have to get brighter. If the dark is getting radical, we have to become radical for God. And there comes a point, the grays are disappearing. The only ones who are going to stand as believers are those who are all out, and that's what. But for that, this truly could be our greatest hour. But we have to rise to it. So there are a lot of keys that, when you look, Josiah was living like at the last days of Israel, of ancient Israel, but he literally turned the course of the nation. As far as your families and we go, we have to separate too. I mean, we are to engage the world, but you cannot. If you're sending your children to colleges that are going to program them away from God, you're in trouble. You have to draw a line. We have to separate from the dark. Then we can be a light to the dark.
I've been a student of this and just observing in the culture. It seems like the demise of the church and the influence of the church, even, not just the evangelicals, but the Catholics as well. And it's almost as if leadership has disengaged from the cultural battles. There was a report a couple of days ago about seminaries that train up pastors are shutting down because there just aren't those men willing to become a pastor. What is that? What kind of an impact is that going to have in America?
Yeah, well, I believe it all goes along with this, and it's part of, I believe, this mystery that things are kind of echoing where it was at the beginning of the age. The beginning, there were less believers. There was no cultural Christianity. But those who were believers literally changed the world. This is the book of Acts, again. So I believe it's the same process that things are going, and nominal Christianity is the first thing to go. But, again, those who stand strong, you are going to be much more powerful. We are called now. We've been the candle in the day. Now it's time to be the candle in the night. So, yeah, the dark is getting darker in the culture, but that is not a reason not to shine. That's the reason where you could have the most powerful form of Christianity ever since the book of Acts. And I believe that's what God is calling. And, again, that's why I said, this is the hour. We have to rise to this.
All right. One final question, Jonathan. You write about the events that shook America, and there have been a good many, and it just seems like we're on this path to something, and you're saying these events were actually foretold and appointed by an ancient calendar.
Well, it's amazing. I'll just give a quick day. So that is that all the shakings that actually are going according to these days, these appointed days, which not only speak about what the shaking is, but also about the timing. There is an actual, I'll just do it real quick, there's an actual ancient day from God, which is linked to the day of a plague and also a lockdown. When that came, that's when the plague and the lockdown came on America. The next one is linked to fire. And when the day that came, a fire exploded on America, which was literally the summer of rage and all that. It's uncanny, but what I'm saying is that, listen, God is in control. The God of the Bible is still alive, and he is also in charge of the future, too. So that's really what that's saying, but yeah, that's just a taste of it.
Wow. All right. Well, congratulations. This is exciting,
and
the book coming out this month, The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End of Times. Jonathan, we'd love to get you back on sometime.
Thank you, Todd. That'd be great.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it. Wow. That's crazy. I don't know how he does this, but these books are just incredible, and it's sort of mind-blowing when he puts the pieces together, and then you get to see the puzzle. So look, here's the deal. We actually have a special hardback edition of the Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times, And we're just going to do this real simple. Caller number four, if you're caller number four, we're going to send you a free copy of the Josiah Manifesto. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And again, don't forget, 4 o'clock Eastern, I'll be hosting on Newsmax. Let's go to the phones here. And we actually have two books, so we're going to have two winners. Let's go to the beautiful state of Maine. Ron is on the line. Hi, Ron. How are you today?
How are you doing, Todd?
Ron, I'm doing well, and congratulations, because you just got yourself a copy of the Josiah Manifesto.
Well, thank you. It sounds interesting listening to the gentleman. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this guy, it's the prophecy and everything. It's amazing how he weaves it through just really spins a great story. And I think you're going to love this. So, Ron, we appreciate you listening to the show. And we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get all your info. So congratulations to you. And then let's go to Missouri. And Charlie is on the line. Hi, Charlie. How are you today? All right. Do we have Charlie?
Yes, I'm on here.
All right, Charlie, congratulations. You've just won yourself a copy of the Josiah Manifesto.
Hey, amen. Praise the Lord for that.
Wow. Charlie, I'm curious. You sound like a church-going fellow. What was your take on Jonathan Cahn's book here? That's pretty amazing.
Well, it's amazing what God does in his life and how he comes up with all of it. He does. I've got most all of his books. I'm a pastor, by the way. Doesn't mean that much, but I am. And listening to Brother John,
Jonathan Cahn.
Jonathan. It's Jonathan. I'll get it right in a minute. My wife and I use his little devotions every morning, and she reads them to me. I'm blind, and she reads them to me. And I just really enjoy all that John's ever written. The Lord's just blessed him.
Certainly has. Well, Charlie, hang tight, and we appreciate you and appreciate your great work as a pastor. And we're gonna send you a copy of Jonathan Cahn's new book. And folks, you can get it really wherever you buy your books. I mean, it's pretty powerful stuff. All right. Also, just a reminder that today is launch day for my new book. It'll be out in bookstores in March. But the pre-orders are beginning right now, and you'll be able to order a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. And you can go to our website, toddstearns.com, and you'll see the book there, or you can just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, and get yourself a pre-ordered copy of that. All right, I want to play some audio here. Governor Mike Huckabee had something very interesting to say about the 2024 presidential race. And it's caused a lot of controversy on social media. Cut number five.
Do you know how political opponents to those in power are dealt with in third world dictatorships, banana republics, and communist regimes? Well, it's simple. The people in power use their police agencies to arrest their opponents for made up crimes in an attempt to discredit them, bankrupt them, imprison them, exile them, or all of the above. And if you're not paying attention, you may not realize that Joe Biden is using exactly those tactics to make sure that Donald Trump is not his opponent in 2024. Here's the problem. If these tactics end up working to keep Trump from winning or even running in 2024, it is going to be the last American election that will be decided by ballots rather than bullets.
Well, you know, it's a rather blunt thing to say, but Huckabee is right here. I mean, we are living in the early days of a third world banana republic where Democrats are literally jailing their political enemies. That's what they're doing. And nobody's batting an eyelash. There's nobody. The fact of the matter is that right now you have J6 defendants. And I was mentioned this last night on Newsmax. You have J6 defendants that are doing more jail time than murderers. There was a guy who shot and killed a father as he was walking his children to school. This guy was gunned down in cold blood in Washington, D.C. the children saw their father die, and the gunman got 13 years in prison. Meanwhile, you've got J6 defendants that have been sentenced to 22 years in prison. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that this is all a political act, right? That they are jailing political enemies in America right now. And they're not finished. When you look at all of the people that have been arrested, that have been indicted in this country simply because they believe the election was stolen, guess what? You've got a constitutional right to believe an election was stolen. And if we're getting to that point where you're going to jail people for saying an election was stolen, then you've got to arrest Hillary Clinton. You've got to go after Maxine Waters, Stacey Abrams, Eric Holder, right down the list. And I've got a list, and I'm more than happy to share that with the feds. But at the end of the day, folks, this is not about justice, and it's really not about Donald Trump. It's about silencing we the people. That's what this is really all about. All right, we've got to skedaddle. It has been a great show, folks, and again, would love for you to pre-order Twilight's Last Gleaming. You're going to be able to do that over at toddstearns.com, or you can go to wherever you buy your books and get yourself a pre-ordered copy of the new book. I'm really excited about this one. And it also includes my exclusive interview with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And by the way, President Trump has endorsed the book, wrote the foreword, and I'm mighty grateful for that. All right, folks, got to scoot out of here. You be good, America.